Reading or listening to a really good mystery is like riding in a fast train. There's simply no way to get off until you reach the end and solve the mystery. The creator of the first mystery stories knew a thing or two about holding the attention of readers. This was Edgar Allan Poe. Poe is better known as a writer of terrifying short stories and of wildly romantic poems such as The Raven. But it was he who invented the first fictional detective, Auguste Dupin. Dupin was the first detective to solve a crime simply by using his great mental powers and observing clues, rather than using violence. Of course, Edgar Allan Poe was so concerned with his hero that he didn't bother to give names to most of his other characters, leaving blanks that a storyteller has to fill in for a recording such as this. But overall, the story of the purloined, or stolen, letter remains one of the classic mysteries. The Purloined Letter by Edgar Allan Poe. This is a matter of the gravest urgency. If word should somehow leak out, why, the entire government of France might fall. Monsieur Gironde, chief of the French secret police, looked across at his two listeners to make sure that they understood the importance of the situation. They did. The first of them was his host for the evening, Monsieur Auguste Dupin. Dupin was one of the most brilliant men in all of Europe, and seated next to Dupin was his cousin, Adele. And she smiled across at Monsieur Gironde. He continued,
"The matter is centered around a stolen paper, a purloined letter, to be exact," said Gironde. "The letter was sent to a lady whom I shall not name."
"You do not need to name her," said Auguste Dupin. "There is only one lady in all of France with sufficient power to draw into her situation the chief of the secret police." And he smiled at his cousin Adele, for they both knew that this must be the Empress of France herself.
"Do go on, monsieur," added cousin Adele.
"Yes, madame. As I was saying, the lady,"
for he would not name her,
"was reading this very private letter in what she thought was the privacy of her rooms. Suddenly, in walked the Minister of Finance, Pierre Darcy, followed by several of his assistants. Taken by surprise, the lady had no time to hide the letter in a drawer. The best that she could do was to set it down on her desk, face downward. Darcy, who had been the first to enter the room, saw her do this, and he must have read from her expression that she did not wish anyone to know the contents of the letter. Calmly, he approached the desk, carrying a stack of papers he had brought for her to sign. These he set down on the desk immediately next to her letter, and in the course of shuffling his papers, he lifted her letter, put it among his own papers, and replaced it with another unimportant document."
"Excuse me," interrupted Auguste Dupin. "There is no doubt of this?"
"The lady saw him do it, but she could say nothing. It would only have focused the attention of the others in the room upon her stolen letter. Well, you know Pierre Darcy. He calmly finished his official business with the lady, smiling at her all the while, and left, knowing he had the letter and that she knew it."
"And let me guess," said Auguste Dupin, "since that day, Pierre Darcy has been blackmailing the lady, and has become quite a bit wealthier. Am I correct?"
"Of course, but it is not merely a matter of money. It is a matter of power also. He has forced her to exert her influence with her husband in such a way that Darcy's own power within the government grows every day, throwing the balance of government out completely. The lady has asked me to find the letter and bring it back to her."
Cousin Adele said, "Won't that be a terribly difficult task, monsieur? After all, a letter might be hidden anywhere. Pierre Darcy might even mail the letter himself."
"No, Adele," said Auguste Dupin. "Darcy must keep the letter close at hand, so that at any moment he might publish it and ruin the lady's reputation."
That is what I thought, of course," said Gironde of the secret police. "We know for a fact that Darcy does not, however, keep the letter on his own person. On two occasions, my men have attacked him, I beg your pardon, madame, and a thorough search has shown no letter upon his own person."
"Of course," said Auguste Dupin. A man as clever as Pierre Darcet would not carry the letter himself. Well, what other steps have you taken, Gironde?
Every day for the last 6 weeks, we have entered his home and his office. We have taken the furniture apart and reassembled it, lifted the rugs, broken into his safe. We even probed the ends of his bedposts with long needles, but we found no letter.
Well, perhaps you are trying too hard, monsieur.
Do not joke with me, Dupin. Can you help?
I will try. Can you describe the letter to me, so that if I should see it, I will recognize it?
I can do better than that, Dupin. Here.
And Monsieur Gironde reached into his coat pocket and drew out a single sheet of paper.
This sheet is the same size, the same type of paper. Naturally, we have not written the actual contents of the stolen letter upon it.
Naturally, said Auguste Dupin.
However, we went so far as to duplicate the wax seal that originally closed the first letter.
May we see now, monsieur? Asked Cousin Adèle. And Gironde passed the paper to her. Well,
I will go on in my own way, Gironde, and I suggest you continue your own searches. Of course. We shall meet here when either of us has news.
Fine. And he walked Monsieur Gironde to the door. When he returned, his cousin said, But Auguste, how can you possibly succeed where the entire secret police force has failed?
Well, cousin, said Auguste Dupin,
the secret police have a certain method that they always follow. Give them a crime similar to one they have already solved, and they will solve this new one. However, give them something new and original, such as the matter now before us, they have no idea how even to begin. Well, we shall see. We shall see. And he climbed the stairs, humming to himself. During the next 10 days, Adèle saw very little of her cousin, Auguste Dupin. And then one night, she walked into the parlor of his home to find him sitting, reading, in a most relaxed manner. But she, who knew him so well, could tell that inside he was very agitated. From time to time he would glance up at the clock. Finally, at precisely 8 p.m., there was a firm knock on the front door. Without looking up from his book, Auguste said, Adèle, would you be so kind as to answer that? It will be Monsieur Gironde of the French secret police. A few moments later, the three of them were seated together, and Dupin asked, Have you made any progress, Monsieur Gironde?
I regret to say that we have made none, Dupin, and the matter grows more dangerous every day. Darcy pushes the lady further and further in his quest for power.
Good, said Auguste Dupin to their surprise. And your own personal situation?
Let us just say that the lady is not pleased with our lack of progress on the case. Why, that letter would be worth 50,000 francs to the man or woman who could get it for me.
Indeed, said Auguste Dupin. Have you your checkbook with you? Yes? Would you be so kind, then, as to write out a check for that amount? He spoke in such a way that Monsieur Gironde said nothing, but only looked at him. He drew forth from his pocket his checkbook, wrote a check for 50,000 francs, slowly tore it off, and handed it across to Auguste Dupin, who glanced at it. And then, from between the pages of the book he had been reading, Auguste Dupin pulled out a single sheet of paper. Here is the missing letter. Please be kind enough to return it to the lady, he said.
Auguste!
Exclaimed Cousin Adèle. But Gironde said nothing. He only stood up, took the single sheet of paper, and unfolded it. And then he said,
This is the letter. But however did you...
It does not matter. What matters is this. Pierre Darcy does not know we have the letter. He believes it is still in his possession. Seeing that Auguste Dupin was not going to give him any more explanation, Monsieur Gironde quickly left with the letter. After she had walked him to the door and returned, Cousin Adèle clapped her hands and she said, Auguste, it was wonderful. It was like watching a magician drawing a rabbit from a hat. But surely you won't hide from me how you did this thing.
Of course not, cousin,
We have no secrets between us. I shall be glad to tell you. As you know, Pierre Darcy is not my favorite person. He and I have had several encounters in the past, and he has treated me, shall we say, rather shabbily. Nevertheless, I have learned that the man is highly intelligent. I tried to put myself in his place, think myself inside of his own brain, so to speak. Being a member of the government's inner circle, Pierre Darcy must surely know the workings of the French secret police and be totally familiar with their methods. He would expect them to look in his innermost hiding places for the stolen letter. He must, therefore, hide it in, shall we say, one of his outermost hiding places. Twice in the last 10 days I have visited Darcy at home. The first time, under the guise of looking at the artwork in his home office, I glanced around looking for the letter. I noticed against one wall a letter rack, and in the letter rack, "Auguste," interrupted Cousin Adèle, "surely you are not going to tell me that the missing letter was there." Actually, all that I could see, Adèle, was a sheet of paper of the same size and the same color. Under the circumstances, I could not look too closely. However, it did appear possible that this was indeed the purloined letter, and that all that he had done was to turn the letter side to the wall, write something else on the other side, and leave that side facing out for anyone walking into the room to see. The more I thought about it, the more I believed that this was the kind of thing Pierre Darcy would do. I made an excuse to come back another day, today to be exact. Darcy was his usual smooth self, which is to say, positively oily. In the midst of our conversation, we were interrupted suddenly. There was a gunshot outside his window, followed by some screaming. "Auguste, what happened?" It appears that some country fellow had accidentally fired off a hunting rifle on a crowded sidewalk. Naturally, there were shouts and screams. Was anyone hurt? No, the rifle was empty. No one was hurt, except Pierre Darcy. You see, I had arranged the incident of the hunting rifle. He went to the window, as I had anticipated, to see what was going on, and in those few moments, Adèle, I went to the letter rack, removed the page he had there, and replaced it with a copy Monsieur Gironde had given me the other night. It was only a matter of moments. Darcy noticed nothing. I joined him at the window, and then remained for another 20 minutes, so he would not be suspicious. "Ah, Auguste, and the letter you took?" "Was the letter that I just gave to Monsieur Gironde, and which he identified as the purloined letter."
"And what will happen now, Auguste?"
"Now? Now we have only to wait for Pierre Darcy to spring the trap on himself. A man so hungry for power will never be satisfied. He will push the lady again, but now, with the letter back in her own hands, she will not protect him. The Emperor will hear of his rudeness, and Darcy will be dismissed from his post in the government forever. When he rushes home to get the stolen letter, to publish it and ruin the Empress's reputation, he will pick up the page, turn it over, and he will not find the dangerous letter that he expects to see. Instead, he will see there, written in a hand with which he is not familiar, the words, "Thou shalt not steal." And Auguste Dupin smiled.